Adrishvan yatamam loke. Shilo darya gunai samam. Aham sutavam abhavam. Prishnigarbhiti shutaha. Adrishva. Not finding. Anyatamam. Anyone else. Loke. In this world. Shila Adarya Gunai. With the transcendental qualities of good character and magnanimity. Samam. Equal to you. Aham. I. Suta. The sun. Vam. Of both of you. Abhavam. Became. Prishnigarbha, celebrated as born of Prishni. Iti, thus, Shutaha, I am known. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As soon as I found no one else as highly elevated as you, in simplicity and other good qualities of good character, I appeared in this world as Prishnigarbha, or one who is celebrated as having been born, as having taken birth from Prishni. Purport, in the Treta Yuga, the Lord appeared as Prishnigarbha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Prishnigarbha iti so yam Treta Yuga vataram lakshite. Text 42. In the next millennium, I again appeared from the two of you, who appeared as my mother Aditi and my father Kashyapa. I was known as Upendra, and because of being of a dwarf, I was also known as Vamana. Text 43. O supremely chaste mother, I, the same personality, have now appeared of you both as your son for the third time. Take my words as the truth. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead chooses a mother and father from whom to take birth again and again. The Lord took birth originally from Sutapa and Prishni, then from Kashyapa and Aditi, and again from the same father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki. In other appearances also, the Lord said, I took the form of an ordinary child just to become your son so that we could reciprocate eternal love. Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his Krishna Sandarbha, 96th chapter, where he notes that in text 37, the Lord says, Amuna Vipasha. Which is the text 37? Oh. Meaning by this same form. In other words, the Lord told Devaki, this time I have appeared in my original form as Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami says that the other forms were partial expansions of the Lord's original form. But because of intense love developed by Prishni and Sutapa, the Lord appeared from Devaki and Vasudeva in his full opulence as Sri Krishna. In this verse, the Lord confirms, I am the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I appear in full opulence as Sri Krishna. This is the purport of the words, Tenaiva Vapusha. When the Lord mentioned the birth of Prishnigarbha, he did not say, Tenaiva Vapusha. But he assured Devaki, in the third birth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, had appeared, not is partial expansion. Prishnigarbha and Vamana were partial expansions of Krishna, but in the third birth, Krishna himself appeared. This is the explanation given in the Krishna Sandarbha by Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī. Yē yatāmam prapādyante tam sthitāiva bhajāmyaham mama vārtmanu vārtante manuṣya paratha sarvaśaḥ. All of them, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. That everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Kunti. In other words, eternally life is a reciprocation with Krishna. Either in the material world or in the spiritual world, everything is simply a relation with Krishna. But Natevidu Swarthakatim Hivishnu, people don't know that. Dharashya ye bahir arta manina. And therefore they take a relation with Krishna in a way that's insignificant. They could approach Krishna, who's a multi-trillionaire, and you can get anything you want, like it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam Nigama Kalpatura Galitam Balam, that this Srimad Bhagavatam is just like a desire tree and can give anyone anything that they want. But because people don't know what actually they should desire, therefore they ask for insignificant things. Similarly, everyone has a natural relationship with Krishna, and that's the perfection of their life, of their existence. But even in the spiritual world, there are different grades of devotees, although all of them are equal. Just like there may be different grades of the Himalayan mountains, but for a person standing on the bottom of Mount Everest or some other mountain which is next to Mount Everest, it doesn't really make too much of a difference which is higher than the other. They're all so supremely high compared to our insignificant position that all of them, practically speaking, can be considered equal in one sense. Although Mount Everest is supposed to be the highest. In the same way, Krishna has many incarnations, yatādipo, just like a lamp, a candle, burns. So all the other candles that are lit by that one candle, they all have the same candle power. Although we can understand there's also an original candle. So Krishna is the original candle, and he expands himself. Ramadi, Murti, Shu, Kala, Niyamena, Tishtan, Anavataram, Akarod, Bhuvaneshu, Kintu, Krishnak, Swayam, Sambhavat, Paramanyo, Govindam, Adi, Purushang, Tamahang, Bhujami. So there's the original Krishna, and then there is Rama, Murti, Shu, Kala, Niyamena, Tishtan. There are so many expansions of Krishna. They're all Krishna. Even the super soul in our heart is also Krishna. But Krishna reciprocates according to circumstance. He appears according to the circumstance. He adjusts himself. And therefore, sometimes he appears in his full form, his full manifestation as Krishna. As a Swayambhuva manifestation of Krishna. And sometimes he appears as Nrisimhadeva, Vamana, and other Matsya, all different incarnations, in order to appropriate reciprocate with his devotees under those circumstances, and to appear appropriately for the circumstance also. Just like if you want to turn an ocean, you need a pivot. But not if you want to turn the ocean of milk, you need a pivot the size of korma. And then you also need a mountain the size of Mount Meru. and a rope the size of a suki. They need persons the size of the demigods and the demons to pull it. So it's all nicely arranged. Krishna would not be a very good pivot for a mountain holding a flute. It would look rather strange, a little cowherd boy holding up a mountain 100,000 kilometers high, golden mountain. It wouldn't be very appropriate, but in this form of karma, it's just adequate, that form. And also it is said that karma had an itching sensation on his back, and therefore a golden mountain 120,000 kilometers high made out of gold would be just the right tool to scratch Korma's back. If Krishna is infinite, he has an infinite scratch, itch, I should say, and he needs something infinitely strong to scratch it. Because even here in the material world, if we have an itching sensation, it feels good if you scratch it. It's another kind of pleasure. So if you have an infinite itch, you need something infinite, practically speaking, to scratch it with. And it feels good. I don't know. I guess Korma seemed to like it. Now, even in the spiritual world, where one has manifested his relationship, it's not a static relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the relationship between Krishna and all his devotees, whether in Vaikuntha or in the spiritual world, is a growing, eternally a growing relationship. Nor does Krishna appear exactly the same to every queen in Dwarka, because every queen in Dwarka, for instance, here or in the spiritual world, has a different mentality. They all want to serve Krishna, unalloyed service in the mood of a swakiya rasa, a duly married lady, queen in Dwarka, in a kingdom, but they all have a slightly different way they want to serve Krishna. And therefore, even in Dwarka, Krishna is not exactly the same in every palace. He's slightly different in order to reciprocate with the queens that he has a relationship with. Similarly, even in the rasa dance, although it appeared that there was one Krishna in the center, Vishwamati Rarani, but even all the Krishnas who expanded themselves between each gopi and reciprocated with them accordingly in the dance. So this is Krishna's inconceivable potency, and we should understand he's also in our heart. Now, for the devotees, for the non-devotees, Krishna says, Nichamam karmi, is that right? Nichamatani karmani, nibandanti dhananjaya, udasinadvat asinama saktam teshu karmasu. I'm ever detached, seated as though neutral. That all this work cannot bind me, I'm ever detached, suited as though neutral. So all that work refers to sarva bhutani kondiya, kapashe pranastani, kapadava shri jamyaham, kapadava shri jamyaham. Bhutagramam ibam krishnam pasham. Sarabhutani kondiya prakritim yanti mamikam kapasheya panastami kapadavra shvijamyaham. O son of kondiya, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. So this is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu speaking. there are different expansions of Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not only Krishna, Vasudeva, Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His different expansions also speak in the Bhagavad Gita. So here is Karna Dakshai Vishnu speaking. Prakritim Swama Vashtavya Vishrijami Punak Punak Bhutagramam Imam Kritsama Vasham Prakritir Vishat. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again. Under my will, it is annihilated at the end. Chama Tami Karmani Nibanandi Dananjaya Udasinad Varasinama Saktam Teshu Karmasu. O Dananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I'm ever detached, see it as though neutral. Maya Dakshena Prakriti, Siyatai Sacharacharam. Hetu no ne nakuntiya, Jagat Viparivartite. The material nature, which is one of my enemies, is working under my direction, O Son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created, annihilated again and again. So here, Krishna is everywhere. He's in our heart especially, as the super soul, and he's noting what we desire, and he knows what we deserve, and making the arrangements by his material nature to satisfy our desires according to what we actually deserve. But he's equal to everyone. As long as one is not inquiring from Krishna what to do, one simply gets the results of his past activities. And as soon as one inquires from Krishna what to do, then Krishna takes special care for the devotee and tells him what to do and takes responsibility for what the devotee does. So it's a question whether we're inquiring from Krishna what to do or we're simply following the results of our past activities. When we inquire from Krishna what to do, then Krishna takes special care of us and helps encourage us to desire in such a way that we can make progress towards him. Otherwise, Krishna is aloof. He knows everything that's going on, past, present, future. He knows everyone's desires. He knows everything what one deserves. And therefore, he tells the material nature to make the arrangements accordingly. So that's existence in the material world, and the spiritual world means one is simply in a causeless reciprocation of love with Krishna. And although the pastimes of Krishna are nitya lila, but the relationship is ever fresh and ever more exciting. And Krishna is infinite, and therefore a relationship with him can also be infinite. Because although the soul is finite, in the spiritual world in relation with Krishna, that relationship is infinite. And so the soul is eternally progressing in that infinite relation with Krishna. And whatever way the soul wants to serve Krishna, Krishna reciprocates, and there's even more encouragement. In other words, we all have a natural desire, certain propensities, we all have an eternal personality with certain propensities, and that propensity is manifested fully in a relation with Krishna. And as we manifest it, Krishna reciprocates with us, and therefore that propensity gets encouraged even more and grows even more. Because it's spiritual. And even this little soul, in relation with Krishna, Krishna is also affected by it, and his nature to love and reciprocate also grows with all the living entities. And here it's just under the modes of material nature, there's not much really happening. It's all happened unlimited times in the past. Although we think it's new, but it's simply the same thing happening again and again. There may be slight varieties due to the slight difference of arrangements of the souls, their desires and their desert, but basically the same thing's happening again and again, just an imitation of the spiritual world. And thinking this time is real romance. This time is going to be an eternal love affair. But the whole arrangements for love and comfort and beauty and friendship and everything else in the material world, we've already gone through it unlimited times. But we're a little slow to learn our lesson, therefore we have to go through it again. And hopefully we learn from it. But the only way we can learn from it is really is to establish some relation with Krishna. And then when we establish a relation with Krishna, we can compare it to the relationships that we have in the material world. And if the relation with Krishna gets strong enough, the relationships in the material world seem quite insignificant compared to the relation with Krishna. Or the relations in the material world become part of our relation with Krishna. So therefore, household life, all these different types of life, they're not condemned. They're actually meant to help us understand that only when they're in relation with Krishna they become significant, and every other attempt at household life or any kind of life without a relation with Krishna is just the same thing over and over again, destined for disappointment, because it's not possible to have a real relationship with earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, with the material energy. It's just not possible to have a real relationship with this unconscious material energy. Although we're trying very hard, so much so hard, that although people can have a relationship with the dead material energy, still they're thinking they can be happy with a robot nowadays. I can't have a good relationship with people because they don't seem to surrender or satisfy my desires. But if I had a robot, then I simply press a button and it does exactly what I want. So someone's surrendered. Even our pets aren't so surrendered anymore. They've developed some kind of psychological problems. They don't want to surrender either. But a robot, but of course they're always advertising. Eventually the robots will develop so much intelligence, they'll won't surrender either. Instead of surrendering, they'll join in the competition to control. Actually, robots are simply, they're always going to be unconscious, but people who control the robots may be able to program in such a way as people become less and less intelligent and the robots become more and more intelligent, to seemingly control people for some time. But ultimately, no one's going to be satisfied forever being controlled by a dead machine. Even a dog won't want to be controlled by a dead machine, what to speak of any other living entity. Even a spider has its independence. It chooses what kind of fly it's going to eat. So they're dreaming like that without a relation with Krishna, somehow or another, they're going to find satisfaction. They're going to have a growing relationship, but it's just an illusion, destined to. And the result is, as people become more integrated, degraded, degraded, they won't be able to, the robots will become useless also, because no one will be able to program them or use them. So they'll disappear also. And the end result of this madness of Kali Yuga, who's ever left in it, is that they become the size of the pygmies. That's where the material nature will take them. Pygmies, and there's no more vegetables, there's no more fruit, there's no more clean water, there's nothing to eat. So all their attempts to load all the material nature means that they wind up simply eating each other. The purport is that as Devaki and Vasudeva or Sutapa and Prishni or Aditi and Kashyapa, they develop their relationship with Krishna, and therefore seemingly progressively they finally got Krishna as their son. But actually this is eternal pastimes. Prishni and Sutapa and Aditi and Kashyapa, they're eternal personalities, and these forms of Krishna are also eternal, eternally reciprocating with them in those moods. So spiritual life also means spiritual variety and different tastes and different pastimes, eternally. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? That's right. Well said. Anything else? Hvala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.